So, short introduction today to the doctrine of the Trinity. Some people will immediately jump on the fact whenever you mention the word Trinity. Then they'll let you know immediately that the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And of course, there are people who don't know their Bibles well at all, and so they're shocked when they hear the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. Of course, if you know your Bible, you know that the word Trinity isn't there. Whenever someone says to me, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, I immediately have a standard answer back for them. I say to them, are you a monotheist? And they look at me in a strange look, and they say, well, of course I'm a monotheist. And I say, well, where's that word in the Bible? See, and they say, well, yeah, okay, the word monotheism isn't in the Bible, but the Bible teaches that there's only one God. And I said, of course it teaches that there's only one God. That's not the point. The point that I'm trying to make is that the word monotheism or the word Trinity are theological terms that we use to describe something in the Bible. Just because the word is not in the Bible doesn't mean that the concept is not in the Bible. So, even though the doctrine of the Trinity is somewhat difficult to understand, and I can see why it would be difficult to understand. One of the main reasons is because when we're talking about God, we're talking about someone who is completely unique. There is no one like God. God himself says, who will you liken me to? Whenever we want to explain something, we use examples. And we use things that we know. For examples, if one of my daughters said to me, what does turkey taste like? I've never eaten turkey. You can say to her, well, it tastes kind of like chicken. Oh, okay. Well, she knows what chicken tastes like. It's not exactly the same, but it's approximately the same. If someone says to me, what is the color magenta? I've never heard. What is that? And you say to them, well, it's kind of like red. It's kind of like pink, somewhere in there. Oh, okay. Now I get that. We always use examples of things. But what do you do when you have someone or something that is completely unique? There is God, and then there's everything else. All right, there's the creator, and then there's the creation. All right, so the best definition that has been used for centuries is that God is one in essence, but three in person. There is one being who is God, one eternal being, essence, stuff. When we're talking about being, we're talking about the stuff something is made of. This desk here is made of wood. There's stuff to it. Okay? There's one God in essence. There's one being who is God. But there's a difference between being and person. This desk is a being of some sort. It has an essence to it, but it's not a person. It doesn't have a personality. A person is someone who has a personality, who loves, who hates, who thinks, who speaks, and so forth. Okay? And so the difference that we're distinguishing here is that there is one God in essence, but this one eternal divine being is three distinct persons. You have one being who is three persons. All right. Now, someone may say, well, I still don't like that terminology. I don't like when you say God is one in essence, three in person. Where is a verse in the Bible that says that God is one in essence or three in person? So, we're going to break it down further than that. I don't have my board. I think the Russians have it downstairs. That's okay. We can remember. It's not difficult. There are three things. I'm going to give you three biblical teachings that if you believe these three, you believe in the Trinity, okay? Three biblical teachings that form the doctrine of the Trinity, okay? Number one, the Bible teaches that there is only one God. That's the first statement. Imagine that I had a board and I was writing that down, okay? There's only one God, absolute monotheism. Deuteronomy chapter 4 says, the Lord, He is God, there is none besides Him. 1 Corinthians 8, there is no God but one. We're going to be looking at so many verses today that I'm not going to have you turn to all of these. But I felt bad for not having you open your Bibles. So let's just open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Let's just look at a couple of verses. Go to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapters 40 to 48, God is speaking against all the gods of the nations who are idols and they're not real. And he is basically letting us know that he is the only God. And so all over this section from Isaiah 40 to 43, this is what God is just driving across again and again, just to make the point. Well, actually, let's go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." Okay? So he says, I'm God, and there's never been a God before me. There's never going to be another God after me. That's it. Just me. Go to the next chapter, chapter 44, and verse 6. 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Let me show you one more. Go to the next chapter, chapter 45. And verse 21. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Okay, we don't need to beat this to death. God says, I am the only God. There's never been a God before me. There'll never be another God after me. I am the only God. There is no other. Absolute monotheism. That is the first statement of the three that form the doctrine of the Trinity. So number one, there is only one God. Number two, the Bible speaks of three distinct persons, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say distinct persons, I'm using that word specifically, distinct persons, because that means that the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. They are distinct one from the other. They're not the same person. Okay, and we see this all over the place. We could just go through the Gospels, through the New Testament. We could look through the entire Bible. We see this everywhere. Every time that the Father speaks to the Son, or every time Jesus speaks to the Father, he's not talking to himself, he's talking to someone else. Okay, when Jesus is praying to the Father, he's not talking to himself, he's talking to the Father. He's talking to another person. We have distinct persons. Before the Lord Jesus, on the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he says, I'm going to leave, but I will send you another comforter, another paraclete. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So he says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you someone else to come in my place. Okay, so I'm going, another person is coming. So you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are not the same person. One of the clearest passages where we see the distinction of the three persons is at the baptism of Jesus, Matthew chapter 3. You have Jesus being baptized. The Father speaks from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit descends upon upon him like a dove. And so right there, there's no confusion between the three persons. You have Jesus, the Son, who's in the water getting baptized. You have the Father, who's speaking from heaven. And you have the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove. So you have three distinct persons. Each one is not the other one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So those are two elements of the Trinity. Number one, there's only one God. Number two, the Bible speaks of three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number three, this is the third element that makes up the doctrine of the Trinity. All three of these persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are all identified as the one God. Okay? That is the doctrine. You take all those things and you have the doctrine of the Trinity. Each one of these three persons, distinct persons, is identified with the one true God. Examples. Well, clearly, I don't know anyone who would argue that the Father is not God. You repeatedly read of God the Father in the Bible. He is clearly the creator of all things. 1 Corinthians 8 says there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things. So from God the Father come all things. No one disputes this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here trying to prove that the Father is God. Everyone believes that the Father is God. But then we read of the Son, Jesus, also being identified as God. In Titus, for example, chapter 2, it speaks of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 9, it speaks of Christ and it calls him the eternally blessed God. Jesus is also called the creator of all things. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, it says, "For by him," that's by Christ, "were created all things that are in heaven and are on earth, visible, invisible, powers, principalities. All things were created through him and for him." In the Gospel of John, when you start reading in the introduction where it speaks of the Word who was God, it says, "All things were created by him. There is nothing that was created that was not created by him." So Jesus is identified as God, as the Creator. And then we have the Holy Spirit, who in Acts chapter 5 is called God. In 2 Corinthians 3, he is called the Lord. He's present in creation, Genesis chapter 1. He's called eternal in Hebrews 9. John 14, Jesus tells us that the Spirit knows all things. Only God knows all things. And so here we have three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are all identified as God, yet there is only one God. So that is the doctrine of the Trinity. You may say, "Oh, I don't like the word Trinity." Okay? You may say, "Well, I don't like the phraseology, one God in essence and three in person." That's fine. I don't care. Here's what we need to see if we agree on. Do we agree that there is only one God? That there are three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and these three distinct persons are all identified with the one God. If we agree on those, we believe in the Trinity. Okay? Now, I was thinking about these three statements, and there's basically, well, I'm sure there's more, but I thought of five basic responses that people have to these three statements. Okay? What do people do with these three statements? Some people will say, "Well, I agree that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinct, that they're not the same person." And they will say, "I agree that each one of these three persons is identified as God." But they'll reject the first statement, that there is only one God, and become polytheists. And if you think that's what crazy person would do that? Well, let me give you an example of someone you may know very well. Mormons. Okay? The Mormon Church, that actually calls itself the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You know them. If you see two guys walking along together, white shirts, well-dressed and groomed and shaven with a little card here that says, Elder Jones or whatever, you know, 17 years old, Elder Jones, Church of Latter-day Saints. They look at the Bible and they say, okay, of course we agree that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are not the same person. And we see that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all identified as God. Therefore, they conclude, what? Three gods. Okay? Amongst many more, because Mormons are polytheists, they believe that there are way more gods, not just the three. But when they speak of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they say that's three gods. So they take the three statements, they agree with two, but they reject that there is only one God, and they become polytheists. That's one option. That's what some people do with these three statements. They agree with the two, but not with the first one. Some will say, well, we accept the first one, that there is only one God. Absolutely. And we accept that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinct from one another. They're not the same person. We accept that. But we do not agree that all three are identified as God. Biggest example of that is Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses will say there is one God. Absolutely. Jehovah. Okay? And they say, of course, the Father is not the Son. Of course, the Son is not the Spirit, even though they don't even believe that the Spirit is a person, but that's a whole different issue. We're not going to get into that right now. So they say, of course, the Father is not the Son. Of course, the Son is not the Spirit. Of course, the Spirit is not the Father, and so forth. But they reject that Jesus is God, and they reject that the Holy Spirit is God. Okay? So they disagree with the third statement. Some, and this is, it's not, maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't met that many people like this. It's more of an ancient heresy, but it does still exist amongst some people. Some say, okay, well, we agree that there is only one God. And we agree that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all identified as God. But they say, therefore, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit must be the same person. So they disagree with the second line, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinct from one another. And they would say that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the same person who just appears in different forms, in different ways. Some people will say, for example, some people will say, well, God is one person, and in the Old Testament he was the Father, and then for 30 plus years he manifested himself as the Son. And then now, since Pentecost, he has manifested himself as the Spirit. But it's only one person. They say it's the same person. The example that is used is that of an actor on a stage who will come out with a certain mask and pretend to be a certain person. Then he'll leave, go backstage, and then he'll come back out on the stage wearing a different mask. It's still the same person, but he's playing a different role. And then he leaves and he comes back with a different mask. It's still the same person, but he has an even different role. And so they deny the existence of three persons. They say God is only one person, but he manifests himself in different ways. Sometimes this is called modalism, because that God appears in different modes. And there's ancient forms of this, Monarchianism and Patripassianism. Patripassianism, I like that phrase, it's interesting. Patripassianism, because it has to do with the Father, Patri, suffering, because if they believe that the Father is the same person as the Son, there are some who said, well, that means that the Father died on the cross, which is not true. The Son died on the cross, not the Father. Okay, so you can, if you deny either one of these three statements, you end up with some kind of other weird teaching, which I do not believe is biblical. Fourth option, there are some who say, yeah, I see that the Bible teaches all those three things. I see that the Bible teaches the Trinity. But there are some who say, I don't believe that makes any sense. It's incomprehensible. And so they just reject the Bible. Or fifth, this is our fifth option. You accept that, yes, this is what the Bible teaches. You may not understand fully how it works. You may not understand fully how God can be one in essence but three in person. But that's what the Bible teaches. And if you believe it, you're a Trinitarian. That God is one in essence and three in person. There is one being of God who has eternally existed as three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, what I find most of the time when people try and argue against the Trinity, they're not really arguing against the Trinity, they're arguing against some misunderstanding of the Trinity. For example, how many times have I spoken to a Jehovah's Witness who will say to me, they say to me, do you believe in the Trinity? And I say, yes. And they say, but there is only one God. Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. They'll say to me, and I sit there and I go, excuse me, do you think that we believe in three gods? And they're like, well, no. Well, then why are you arguing about monotheism? Of course we're monotheists. That's the first thing on the list of the Trinity, okay? Do you think we believe in three gods? No, we believe in one God. But this one, the question is, what is the nature of this one God? And we're saying that he is a triune God. They'll say, oh, John 17. Jesus speaks to the Father and he says, you are the only true God. And I'm like, yeah. Well, what is he supposed to say? Was he supposed to say you're one of many gods? Jesus is a monotheist too. What is the problem here? So every time someone argues against the Trinity saying, but there's only one God, means that they don't understand what we're talking about, because that's one of the three elements of the Trinity. Or, for example, so how many times a Jehovah's Witness will say to me something like, but Jesus prayed to the Father. How can they be the same person? And you go, we're not saying they're the same person. We're saying they're distinct persons. The Father is not the Son. That's the whole point of the Trinity. We're not modalists. We're not saying that the Father is the same person as the Son. They're distinct persons. So how many times do you have to argue with people who are arguing against the Trinity, basically, and they're not really arguing against the Trinity at all. They're arguing against their misunderstanding of what we're saying. Anyhow, to try and wrap this up, over the next few weeks, I don't know if it's going to be next week, over the next few weeks, we'll talk a bit more about this. We'll get more into specific passages, because today we're just all over the place, just to kind of give you an introduction. I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about the fact that there is one God. I mean, if you want, I could spend time arguing, looking at the arguments that people use, because there are a couple of bad arguments that Mormons use to try and prove polytheism from the Bible. That's not our main problem. Our main problem is not dealing with the fact that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinct persons. Our main problem is not that the Father is God. No one disputes that. The biggest issue is the deity of Christ. That is the big thing when it comes to the Trinity that a lot of people deny. They deny that Jesus is God, they deny that he's eternal, that he's the creator, and so forth. And so we will spend more time in the scriptures over the next few weeks looking at a bunch of texts to talk about how he is the creator, he created all things, he is eternal, and so forth. So, before we go, you'll say, well, why does this matter? You may ask, why does this matter? Why do we even have to do these lessons? Well, Jesus said that the Father seeks those people who will worship him in spirit and truth. And we honor God when we worship in truth. It is idolatry to worship a false god. It is idolatry to worship something that we've made up in our own minds. It is idolatry to worship a God who doesn't exist. So we need to find what Scripture teaches concerning God. So we, even though I know no one has a perfect 100% understanding of God, God is infinite, we are finite. But we need to grow in our knowledge of God, and we need to worship God the way that he has revealed himself. And if he has revealed himself as a triune God, then that is who we need to worship. Look, we gather here, we worship Jesus, we sing hymns to Jesus, we praise Jesus. If Jesus isn't God, then we're idolaters. So this is not a small issue. This is a big issue, and we'll talk about it more over the next few weeks. So let's pray.